Are we recording?
We're recording.
Good, well, good morning or afternoon, depending on where you're listening.
Imagine what,
Welcome to the Creep Dive.
Bienvenue à la Creep Dive.
Let's take a moment. It's time for introductions. The Creep, yes?
Let's introduce each other and try and remember three facts about each other. That'd be fun.
Okay, but let's tell them what the Creep Dive is. Welcome to a podcast. If you've been recommended by a friend, you're absolutely welcome. You are about to enter, we're going to tell you some stories and it's basically, what did we originally?
The underbelly of the internet.
Yes.
We go deeper than any normal person has time for.
That's true.
We look at the headlines, stories that you might have come across but didn't know the backstory to, and we give you all of the details to the best of our knowledge and research, which as it transpires is
useless.
Mediocre,
well,
but entertaining.
Catchy, you know, sometimes very in-depth. Sometimes
not so much.
It's like skimming stones in Bantry Bay with your da in 1991.
Sometimes
weird.
It's very strong opinions.
Wearing a bit of
loosely held, just dangling them.
Benetton came to Ireland sort of around that time, and everyone shit themselves
fruit of the
with
loom.
Excitement.
Welcome, you're very welcome. Everyone's welcome here. We've been told to do this. We're going to do it every episode now, or venture two. So I am Jen O'Dwyer. That spells my second name, otherwise known as O'Dwyer.
I'm Cassie Delaney.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What, we forgot to do the things about you.
Oh yeah, we can go back around and do them. Okay, I'm Sophie, voice talent, best-selling author, expert sitter downer, white.
Oh, very good.
The fourth.
I don't know what to put in between Cassie Deadpan Delaney.
Yes.
Cassie, you know, just about animated Delaney.
There we go. I was listening to a podcast that reminded me of us, and it was my brother and me. It is absolutely lovely, and I hope we sound like that to people.
Fingers crossed.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, you're listening, you're in. We've got stuff to tell you. Here's what happens next. We'll generally start with a creep of the week. Something in the zeitgeist might just be from the Daily Mail. Maybe not.
Could
just
be some
Irish
creep hovering, you know, in our eye line.
Exactly. Then we'll tell a story each. Welcome. We each have areas of interest. I like animals.
You do like animals, creepy things, disgusting things. Sophie, feels weird to say this, big fan of incest.
Yeah, huge.
That is overstated, if you
cannibalism.
Ask me. Like, I've only done, as far as I recall, one incest story.
I don't know, just
really
sticks
out. I was tarred
out
with the incest brush forever. And do you know what? Cassie did a sibling or dating, so we're neck and neck in terms of incest.
I did
and
a sibling or dating.
Neck,
yeah.
In conjunction with incest sounds really gross. I would say cannibalism, dismemberment, and I love a
food.
It's a slight kind of, you know, like a deep dive on someone we were wrong about.
That's good too.
But yeah. Like, I'll never forget my ANS, you know, I just loved that episode.
ANS?
Anna Nicole Smith. It's a great
that
episode.
Was a good one.
Yeah.
Cassie's major interest is we've got hoaxes and
catfishes. And blue ball stories.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting to climax with Cassie, that I'd shelve that idea. You'll probably
imagine
have to self-pleasure.
Imagine
after.
You for another couple of years and then I'll tell you something that finally ends.
Anyway, here we go. Who has a creep of the week? Or wait, here's another exciting thing if you're listening and you're also a patron, maybe you're not, maybe this could be a right time to you because we're actually looking at a legitimate live show happening in the next few weeks.
Oh,
maybe.
But it's extended beyond the patrons.
Oh yeah, but
it's
we
for
won't
anybody.
Have the tickets, lads.
But it's literally
the tickets will be available to the patrons first.
Oh wait,
so what's
I can
most
confirm,
exciting?
We can confirm, hang on. I'm texting the venue. Okay. Damn, the venue wants me to see it before I book it. I'm like, venue,
come on.
Like, I couldn't. I think actually they listen to this podcast. Guys, I trust you. Okay. Anyway, the main thing is confirmation that the bathrooms will be ready.
Woo-hoo.
So this is an outdoor gig, lads.
No need to piss down your leg.
I'm going to call it Creep Diva Palooza. Because those rogue creeps already stole Creep Fest.
They did.
And creep didn't invite anyone except Jen.
I got an apology though, so I appreciate that.
What do we have, Sophs? You're on Creep of the Week this
good
evening.
Keep an eye on our socials and keep Wednesday the 30th of June free.
Which is giving them approximately 8 days notice from the time this goes out.
Sell out in under an hour.
We have 8 days notice as well.
Yeah, we're all in this IRL together. What'll I wear?
It's just You got it. Oh my God, I have like four outfits. I'm going to do outfit changes.
Oh.
I really want to wear about seven different dresses that I bought in pandemic.
Serendipitously, I'm getting my hair done that day.
Oh. No, you're not allowed.
No, it was
booked. No one else is getting
it's
their
been
hair
booked
done.
In for, it's been booked in for 28 days already, so I'm getting my hair done that day.
12-week blow dry effect.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous.
And you might need a raincoat.
The reverse. The no wash effect.
Nice.
It's forming a sculpture. Tell me though, really, is it really greasy looking?
No. Mm-mm. It looks intended.
And does it look,
you've got these beachy waves that I'm envious of.
She's looking for curls. That's upset her.
That's upset me.
But beachy waves are just a hot skip and a jump away from a curl.
Okay, I'll take it. Okay, I know three facts about Cassie Deadpan Delaney.
Go.
She's like way taller even than you think she is.
Yeah, I'm very tall. Yeah, that's true.
A stunning Amazonian woman.
Come to the live and you'll discover that. Very tall.
Very tall.
Like a tree.
Yeah, we're going to dig a hole and make her stand in the hole beside me and Jen. And we're all standing for the whole gig, which feels awkward.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. This is the moment we've been dreading since the start of the pandemic when we started the lives, is meeting the creeps in real life and having to maintain those personalities that we have put on for the last year and a half. I'm so nervous.
Do you think that you have falsified a personality?
I am very happy and confident when it's behind a Zoom, and when we do a live show, want to shit myself before going on stage.
Embrace that good feeling.
Yeah.
That's just a good feeling.
We'll get you a commode. Well, you're down the hole. Yeah. So no one will be able to see.
Perfect.
So except I've got a face can be a giveaway.
Okay.
The good thing about our lives is there's three of us. So if you just don't want to talk, it's
just
fine.
Over to you.
Yeah. You just take a second.
Dub yourself in. And then afterwards. Oh my God.
I should
like,
do that.
I'd say now, get a Jen hologram. I wouldn't listen back to episodes unless you're an insane
narcissist.
Psychopath, Jen.
Yeah. No, thank you.
But we both had to listen back to the Cassie Delaney post episode dub. Anyone here listening to the main episode
absolutely
doesn't know what we're talking about.
Genius.
Join the Patreon.
It was absolutely
quality
brilliant
content.
Yeah. Just problem solving.
€4 a month. Patreon.com/thecreepdive.
It's not even so. I'd like to tell you it's €3.78 or something. Or less even.
€3.50.
Yeah.
Yes, go on over there. Last week we recorded a hive. I realized, I'm going to say immediately afterwards, that my audio hadn't recorded. And I was like, will I tell them? And then I was like, Sophie's gone to look at kitchens. I don't want to disturb her. I can just solve this myself. And I did.
And you really did.
I just fixed it myself.
You elevated the entire episode. Okay, I know a fact about Jen. She was nearly called Fern.
I was. Were you? I was. You're almost looking at a fern.
Fern O-D-W-Y-E-R.
That might have been the problem. Fern O'Dwyer might not have worked as well. Fern, however, being a Jurassic plant, is a fascinating plant that operates, you may not know, with sperm and eggs, unlike many other plants.
Didn't know any plants did
well,
that.
Well, welcome to Science Corner. If you think that's good, wait till you hear what I got for you later on, because it is a lot.
Excellent. Okay, will I do a quick creep of the week just to
please do
lubricate us gently? Spanish man jailed for killing mother and eating remains. Have I ever related more?
This came through a few times and I was like, I'm not touching this.
Not touching it. Saving it for her. A Spanish court has only sentenced him to 15 years.
That seems strange.
It seems light. Oh, wait. There's an additional 5 months I didn't spot. 5 months. Even though they found him guilty of strangling his mother and then eating her remains. That is not enough time. It's not enough.
Was there any warning that this was going to happen?
Okay, let's see. He's been dubbed the cannibal of Ventus, or in some parts of Spain you'd say Ventus.
Oh, okay. You get a little point for that.
Spanish listeners, get in touch, because that is not in any way substantiated. Okay, so he was deemed sane at the time of the events. And so, yeah, in terms of like, was there any mental illness going on? Apparently not. So there was a row. So I guess that was the cause.
Yeah.
It was a row between him and his 69-year-old mother. I would say here's a real clue. So the row took place at the flat they shared.
Okay. Right. Now, what age is he? In his 40s?
I mean, I'd say he's minimum 40s. sorry, Max, really. Or Max, okay. Like he could be older. He could be, I'm doing some quick mental maths, he could be 50.
Okay.
At a push.
Maximum.
It just depends.
It's on many years to be looking at each other. Is what I'm trying to say.
It depends on when they sexually activated his mother. But yes, it could be.
That's anything. A long ass time.
Don't live together, really. Try not to live with your parents.
It can be unavoidable in today's
it
day and age.
It absolutely can.
I don't You're know what so the right. Spanish situation is, but I'm guessing it might be shite as well.
Yeah.
Probably. So maybe neither of them had no other choice.
Mm.
And at the row that, here's it, what
Do
I'm
you know,
thinking.
Yeah.
He, okay, fit of rage, we can all relate.
Yeah.
Then you're left with the body and you're like, okay, I've seen how this goes. This is how they catch everyone.
Yeah.
Best case scenario here, I just slowly eat her over the next few months and I digest
her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Down and then just perfectly kinda naturally pass her through my system. Mm. And
it's what she would have wanted.
Well, that's it. Two becoming one again.
Ah.
Ah. Full
and
circle.
And the life circle's complete.
Exactly.
The circle of life. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That was beautiful.
That's what
Cassie.
Elton John was singing about.
We should tell them. We're sitting now in Sophie's living room here.
Doesn't this feel like the early days of the Creep again?
Yeah, this, exactly it does.
I think because Creep predates Studio. Oh no, it doesn't actually.
It doesn't predate Studio, but we used to do when Jen was on maternity leave.
Come to my
we
house.
We used to go to Jen's house.
Yeah, and sit and do this together.
Great. We sit in that black painted room with the wall of cadavers.
Yeah.
Nothing creepier than that room.
Dan would bring us snacks and a baby would get handed. They were the days.
Oh, them were the days.
Yeah.
Okay, quick. I'll just finish the story. So he got the extra 5 months for the desecration of a corpse. So that's interesting. So basically, if you're kind of looking to get into homicide and corpse desecration, like, you know now that if you skip the homicide, find a corpse to desecrate, you're only looking at 5 months, which is actually very doable.
Good to know.
So he dismembered his mother's body and then he ate her over the course of at least 15 days.
There must have been freezer
stuff. And fed some to his dog. Yeah, yeah, I would really hope that he has gone over the HACCP regulations when dealing with a corpse. And
do
like,
we know? Do we know what
was
he
that
did?
Freezer?
Was the with the bones? Like, you can chow down now through the fleshy bits, but
okay,
you're going nowhere.
I'll give you more.
Yeah.
So the row broke out. He strangled her, then dragged her into the bedroom.
Uh-oh.
Then he obviously employed a saw and two kitchen knives to cut her up.
That takes a time.
Oh, I'd say back-breaking, to be honest.
A lot of
mess. I always think of people doing that in the bath. And I know from bathing kids for the last few years, that angle is murder
back.
On your back.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's actually taken her into the bedroom. So hopefully he has her on a raised surface. And I would imagine a warm up, warm down, I'd recommend on either side of that activity.
Quick downward dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then he began to eat her remains over the course of 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
Anything he wasn't eating at any one time, he'd be storing in various plastic containers around the house and in the fridge. Great opportunity there to be sponsored by Muji.
You don't know if they're listening.
Had the forethought.
Or he was sponsored. Mm. That's just a recipe for tummy upset as well. You can't be storing them just randomly in the house. You can't be having a slab
of meat.
You can't.
That's salmonella.
It is. Yeah. It's not right.
No. I really hope that he had the refrigeration going on. And also, that's it. I was about to say, if he wanted to tune into Laura Jabara's Instagram, he'd be learning like the correct order to
store
her.
Shit.
I mean, in short, store her at the bottom so she's not leaking down on anything.
No drips.
Very good.
Final word from the authorities. He's been ordered to pay $60,000 in compensation to his older brother for
that's how much
the
a
older
mom
brother's
is.
Mother.
That's how much what
that's
was left.
That's a costly meal.
That's one ass costly. Like,
although over 14 days.
Imagine getting that news. You'd be like,
14.
You did what?
Yeah. Oh, you ate mom.
Why?
But he's been raised. Well, yeah, maybe. I was about to say he was raised by the same woman. You never know.
It's the eating thing. And he was deemed completely sane.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
That
isn't
is
it?
Really interesting.
Like,
because
really?
You think that that's really not a sane thing
exactly.
to do.
Yes.
Yeah, you just would, you'd feel that the sheer basic facts of it would negate any sanity.
Well, that makes me think it was, there might
any
have been more
sanity.
Than sort of doing away with her remains, might have been an issue of just access to food. Maybe it was, No. Well, sure, he had a dog.
The dog would go first, he could, surely.
Exactly.
No, it was a choice.
Anyway, that is our creep of the week from Spain.
Well, her donor card went unused.
Over to Jen. If you're thinking of O-D-W-Y-E-R.
Do you know what? We should all be signed up for donor cards, by the way. I got two in the post. Do you know what the problem is, though? Who has a card on them all the time? No, again, it's another. Okay, welcome into Science Corner.
But don't they have
ready?
It on your license now?
Who has that on them all the time?
Well, if it depends where you die, I guess. If you died in a car crash, mine's in the.
In the glove box, FYI.
It should just be in your Instagram bio. Everyone in this entire world just needs to be issued with an Instagram bio. Wifey, mama,
eye donor,
dog mama, and
mumtrepreneur.
Loves Jesus.
And
mumtrepreneur
and organ donor.
And OnlyFans. Click link below.
Exactly. Okay, welcome. Here I am now. In case you thought everything was fine. Just to give you some haunted nightmare dreams of all the shit that is happening and could be happening because something happened on Reddit and Reddit was like, I'm going to ask scientists about darkness. And loads of scientists came on to talk about
darkness. Okay.
Well, it's just basically scientists saying, you know, telling us weird, interesting shit.
Okay.
That the general public may not be aware of.
Oh my God.
Mm. Love learning things.
Oh yeah. We're here for it. Here's one from... user by the name of The Thought Well, anthrax can sporulate in dirt and stay viable for hundreds of years until the soil is disrupted and the spores are inhaled.
Oh, joy.
Yep, that old anthrax that you know well, just waiting to be kicked around by a leaf. Anyway, in 2016, an outbreak of anthrax in Siberia killed 1,500 reindeer. You might remember we did that story a long time ago.
Yeah.
Had hospitalized 4 humans and perhaps it might have been responsible for killing a child. It was caused when an infected 75-year-old reindeer corpse thawed out.
Oh my God.
Like, this is another thing, right? You know, you're looking at the ice caps melting and they're melting away.
There's a lot of stuff under there.
There's a fuckload of shit under there. And we're looking at corpses of, dinosaurs and potential viruses. It's in every film you've ever seen.
Do you not think that this is just the world now? That, like, we're eventually, like, this is it. There's going to be another virus. This is how we live now.
Yes, because we've systematically destroyed everything and now this is the Earth coming back to... You know,
it's just it's ruined. It's
broken. Hey, the penny man. Ever heard of prion's disease?
Nope.
Welcome.
I have.
Yeah. So misfolded proteins that cause a cascade.
Remember, we actually did. We did something that was prions related.
Okay. Well, this is a horrific thing that can happen.
Remember.
Yes, the folding, right? Cascade of proteins misfolding that lead to plaque buildups, resulting in uncontrollable neurodegeneration. That's fatal in 100% of cases within 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the one, do you remember that story with the laughing? One of the final of elements is, the laughing.
This kind of.
So, yeah. Like the victim or the patient, like.
Oh, yeah.
Starts this uncontrollable laughing. It's awful.
It is.
Oh, God. Horrendous.
So we still don't know.
There's so many things to be anxious about, isn't
many.
It?
Many. And the list goes on.
This is a terrible podcast.
Do you know what? We did that episode
back
at the very beginning of the pandemic because the prions are connected to mad cow as well.
Oh,
we did a long deep dive in mad cow before we understood. Before
we
understood.
We were still,
talked,
so jolly.
We were. We had a few funnies about death.
In our defense, it was pre the first lockdown.
So we don't understand the structure of these proteins. But in theory, it could happen to anybody at any time. And there's no way to fucking tell until you start showing symptoms yourself. At which point you're dead. You're a goner. And
when you
that's
start
terrible.
Showing because the minute you start showing symptoms, it's too late.
Yeah. Wait for this. Typically, one day in middle age, the sufferer finds out that he or she has begun to sweat. One look in the mirror will show that the pupils have shrunk to pinpricks and that he or she may be holding his hand in an odd, stiffened way.
That's really unfortunate because they are very similar symptoms to a hangover. And I can imagine that when you're hungover feeling like death, you could very easily convince yourself that you have
prion's disease.
Prion's disease.
Constipation is common. I mean, that again. The woman suddenly entered menopause. The women suddenly, and then men become impotent. The sufferer begins to suffer to have trouble sleeping. Tries compensating with a nap, perhaps in the afternoon. No avail. Blood pressure and pulse have become elevated. Body is in overdrive. After ensuing months, he tries desperately to sleep, sometimes closing his eyes, but never succeeded in falling into more than a light stupor. Bad, isn't it?
Doesn't sound great, no.
Here's the next
light
fucked up
stupor
thing.
Is an oxymoron.
In the year 1958, a 7,600-pound nuclear bomb was just lost, right, off the Georgian coast near Savannah. Never been found.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but the situation is worse than that because the US has actually just lost 6 nuclear weapons.
Lost them?
Yeah. Oh, where the God. Hell are they, I hear you ask, right? In February 13th, 1950, the first of the lost nuclear weapon occurred. So less than 5 years after the first atomic bomb detonated in a mock nuclear strike against the Soviet Union, some US B-36 bomber en route from Alaska to Texas began experiencing engine trouble. My worst, isn't that just a nightmare? Like yes. When you have something like that aboard and like the crew at that point were like, look, there's an icy landing, lads. This engine won't see us out. God. We're ejecting, right? So the crew amazing. Jettisoned. Leaving a fucking Mark IV nuclear bomb aboard. Oh. So the crew witnessed a big flash and a bang and a sound wave. But the military claimed the mock-up, they continuously refer to this as a mock-up bomb, was filled with just uranium and TNT, but no plutonium.
So, that's such a comfort.
It's such a comfort. But also, do we believe them? So they said it wasn't capable of a nuclear explosion. Nevertheless, the uranium has yet still to be recovered. March 10th, 1956, a Boeing B-47 set off from McDowell Air Force Base, Florida, for a nonstop flight to Morocco with 2 nuclear capsules on board. The jet was scheduled for a second mid-flight refueling over the Mediterranean Sea, but it never made contact. No trace of the jet or nuclear material ever found again.
That's so interesting.
How many people were on that jet?
Well, I don't know for sure, but that's interesting because a couple of things could have happened. So it crashed.
Bermuda Triangle.
Nuclear.
I literally have. I had this open from earlier on, from a different, from Future Creep Research.
You love this, Cass.
Was the list of the missing Bermuda Triangle incidences.
Well, you might notice a lot of them happening around the 1940s, 1950s time.
Yeah. Really, really heavily concentrated between 1945 and 1949.
Now, I might be wrong here, but this is the Mediterranean Sea. It's not near the... Am I right in saying the Bermuda Triangle?
The Bermuda Triangle is...
But sure, you never know the long arm of the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, that's it.
But it's not... It's in the North Atlantic Ocean. It is... by
North
Florida,
okay.
Puerto Rico, and then Bermuda.
Mm.
So it's not where you'd anticipate.
But wait, there's more. February 5th, 1958, in the early hours of the morning, a B-47 bomber with 3,400 kilos of Mark 15 nuclear bomb aboard accidentally collided with some other aircraft, an F-86, during a simulated combat mission. Seems strange to use this in a simulation. The battered and bruised bomber attempted to land numerous times to no avail. Eventually, they made the decision to jettison the bomb into the mouth of the Savannah River near Savannah, Georgia, and in order to make the landing possible.
Because they lost the other one off the coast of Georgia.
Yeah. So the plane, lucky for them, the plane landed successfully. The bomb did not detonate. However, it has remained irretrievably lost.
What like, is Butterfingers in the 1940s? Like?
Absolutely fucking
well,
right.
Well, there's loads of theories. Because
Butterfingers
was...
are really delicious. I don't know if anyone's ever tried one.
Peanut butter brittle. Mm. Yeah. With the... but it's
enrobed with chocolate. Enrobed. Unfortunately, American chocolate. But
still though. Secondary.
Still, even still.
Is it really chocolate? Yeah, shout earlier on, I just had like a random thought. I was like, did they ever find missing flight 370?
Mm-hmm.
And while parts of it have been found, the aircraft is still largely considered to be missing.
Tell me, Flight 370, am I being really ignorant?
No.
Malaysian aircraft.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, really recent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really recent. And in 2014, the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 was a scheduled international passenger flight operated by Malaysian Airlines that disappeared on the 8th of March while flying from Kuala Lumpur International Airport to Beijing. And... despite the search, like
a huge search,
went over 4 million square kilometers.
4 million,
yeah, They put loads because there was three different countries trying to locate any remains. Now they did in 2017, I think, find certain parts of it.
That's right. Did they find the black box of it?
I'm not sure on whether they found the black box or not.
While we're wondering about things, do you ever think to yourself, anesthetic? Ever wonder about that?
All the time.
Right. Here's a poster by the name of Wacky Zacky.
Do you not?
No, about what? It's so anesthetic.
Weird. How does it work?
Wait for this, guys. I'm going to blow your mind. Right. This poster says, that reminds me that early anesthetic for children didn't actually stop pain. It just paralyzed them. Now, the poster goes on to describe this, but I'll tell you a bit more about this later. So the doctors didn't believe the kids describing the pain, and it wasn't until the child of a doctor was able to recount in detail the medical procedure and how he was cut up and what caused the pain that they stopped using it.
Oh my God.
This is all from memory, the poster says, from a college neuroscience class, so I don't recall specifics. So particularly grimly, right up until 1985, very few were aware how many procedures were taking place on this is terrible. Actually, I'll just say a little warning here. So this is about premature babies and newbies, because they don't like to give pain relief.
Yeah. To little babies.
Now, have you guys ever heard about a little thing called twilight sleep?
Yes.
Have I talked about
this before? My granny claims. Talking about anesthetic for a second.
Oh, no, I'm still in anesthetic land, but go on.
Do you not think to yourself ever in moments of silence or in the shower that at any given moment you could wake up from a coma?
Okay, I think I'm in a coma all the time.
Yeah, but like
I'm still in the coma.
Okay, there's that, because that's what happened at the end of Buffy, spoiler. She was just like in an induced coma.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just did that to everyone.
That was the most August Gathobin Dushig May ending I've ever had to a TV series.
I'm Irish for it, and then I woke.
Oh, but, yeah, in case, because the international creeps.
Oh, we have loads of reviews from Americans. Yes, yay. That means suddenly I awoke. And it was how every student ended their Irish essays in school. But
English.
You could, because if you wake up from a coma, you're not going to remember the incident that you fell into a coma.
Great, yes.
You're going to remember the thing you did
just before
that. So like at any given moment you could have a brain hemorrhage or a car crash or a head injury, and then suddenly you think a second has passed and actually 17 years have passed and you wake up from a coma. That's what I think is fascinating.
And you're no longer in the best shape of your life. That is so sad. And you were in a coma all the way through your
best skin years.
Right after I got the curly girl method going, yeah. I slipped into a coma. Would you say these are curls or waves?
Beach waves. They're definitely beach waves.
No, oh, she's such a bitch.
But they're ready. You're ready for your beach debut.
You're such a bitch.
I said it. I'm not going to lie to you.
That. There's a real deep wave there, Sophie.
It's not wrapping around itself yet, but it will in time. I'm
celebrity
just not going to lie
match.
To you.
Okay.
Just rain it in.
You're getting there and you're making great progress and it looks fantastic. It's just not there yet.
Okay, fine.
Oh my
thanks.
God, that's
okay,
crushing.
Can I just ask? Okay, I just need you guys that's to agree crushing. To something.
I know what went into this.
If I have some kind of neural event and end up going into a coma right now, can you please just keep up the curly GM while I'm in
plopping?
The coma?
Plopping. We'll
do. Thank you. Plop me every day.
Yeah. Like, okay. What are you doing? Doing to that highly distressed woman. I'm like, it's what she would have wanted.
This is totally
keep the
and
machine
then eat
on
me and metabolize me and digest
keep it
me.
On you know like some people are like, do not resuscitate. I'm like, no, you keep me on, you cryogenically freeze me, you plop my hair and bring me back to life.
Do you remember who was it, one of the killers, that guy in Liverpool, the serial killer who used to just take the bones out because they're the
Dennis Nielsen
and just shake him out the trouser leg?
Yeah that was all the viscera. Just fucking viscera around the park. Oh, I think dear. He was in London now. I can't remember.
Anyway, look,
I don't remember doing my abomination of a Liverpool accent through that. And so, I do like a bit of Shiverpool.
She does. So we were talking about, okay, yes, this feeds into your life as a simulation thing, Cass.
Yeah, it is.
Well, let me take you back, because we're in the forgotten 20th century method of childbirth.
Yeah, I was about to say my granny claimed that all of her childbirths were in twilight sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
What
well,
is this?
I mean, is she? Do you reckon that could be a fact?
Yeah, because, I'd say okay. She was telling the truth more or less. Yeah.
Here we go, lads.
That's before, 18, by the way. I don't know.
That's 18. Eight children.
Eight children. Like, again, okay. I just like to shock the...
I wonder, let me see about my dates now, because that might make sense for her. Okay, before 50s, pain 40s. Relief, C-sections, antiseptics, you know, infections, there was intense pain, infections, and if you were lucky, do you remember, I think I said this before, you might get the chainsaw to the pelvis. They used to do that too.
Jesus.
And that was just a fucking disaster. So anyway,
hammer and nail.
Doctors in Germany began promising patients that they could relieve pain and erase memories of the experience while they were at it. Right? Easy to see while something like this might take off. So in the year 1906, obstetrician Bernhard Krönig and Carl Gauss came up with the idea of giving these drugs. So here we have scopolamine and morphine to help with childbirth, right?
So
morphine,
tasty.
We know, will do the pain.
Mm-hmm.
What's this other thing I hear you say?
Yeah.
This is a compound of plants in the nightshade family.
Ooh,
this would cause drowsiness, amnesia, and euphoria, right? So the idea was...
Such conflicting things.
Get them high.
Yes, with the
kill
two
the
drugs.
Pain. Drowsy, kill but the euphoric. Pain,
but maybe, right? So
that's just like fucking Dozol. Dozol is this thing that you can buy over the counter and give your toddlers to try and get them to shut up.
Yeah.
But so it makes them drowsy and maybe go to sleep. So people are like always waiting until the 2-year-old mark before they can finally start dosing the Dozol. But in a small like number of
safe
the population, it can actually send them full scale
crazy.
Off the walls batshit.
The opposite
right.
of sleepy.
Yeah. So it's a real
imagine,
shot in the dark.
But imagine, not to criticize the Twilight birthing method or whatever it's called
yeah.
there. Imagine getting high and then someone giving you a baby at the end of it.
Well, wait till you hear what happens.
Fucking
right?
terrible.
So the doctors were like,
say that's not
we
yeah.
as two male doctors with neither a womb between us have decided our trials are, we're satisfied with the outcome of the trials. They showed, according to them, fewer complications and... kind of all round more successful natural childbirth.
Okay, so women phrase. Were yeah. ruining birth.
That's the
and
problem.
Now these
we need
two
to
men
eliminate
it.
We need to paralyze the women. So they began offering the drug combo to patients at the women's clinic of the State of University of Bagdon in Germany. And by 1907, Gauss was giving it to all of his pregnant patients. So word began to spread of the treatment. It was totally hyped up as like the new way to give birth, pain-free, and you forget all about the trauma. And it was called Twilight Sleep, which is so thousands of
which
mothers
really nice.
Signed
it
up
does.
And were pleased with the results.
And Edward
some,
Cullen gives you back a baby at the end of it.
That's
and
it.
It's a vampire.
Some would go on to have more babies under the same thing. Under the same treatment. From the outside, seemed too good to be true, no?
Yes.
It fucking is. So patients first began to experience the pains of labor. Gauss would give them, one of the doctors, a dose of morphine and scopolamine. And from then, he would give them only doses of this scopolamine, right? So this would prevent them from remembering. But it didn't in any way prevent them from feeling it. So they gave initially the morphine, but then cut that. It was too expensive. We'll just stick with the hallucinogen. Right. So he was well aware of this. So he knew that they would be feeling it, given that he was forced to restrain the women in the beds using straitjackets, straps on the arms.
Oh, my God.
Straps on the arms and ledge, bandages across the eyes, inserting cotton into their ears.
Oh, my God.
To stop and all this to stop them sort of
did
injuring
they
themselves
gag?
And then they just
not
wouldn't
gag.
Remember
did they scream like did they gag
oh,
them
there was fucking holy murder Soph right so they were kind of aware but hallucinate but certainly feeling the pain but then so here we go from one of the it's from another Dr. Henry Williams says she may seem to be conscious of the birth of her child and may give evidence of the apparent suffering, yet when a few moments later the child is brought in by the nurse from a neighbouring room where it has been cared for and placed in the mother's arms, the patient does not recognise the child as her own or realise that she has yet been delivered.
Oh my God.
That
is so disturbing.
Horrendous.
Yes, it's really disturbing. So nevertheless,
fuck up the bond from the
they had no
start.
Understanding of this. And in a way, I guess the women were looking for some help during that time, and the doctors were like, right, well, they're certainly suffering a great deal, and the morphine sort of wasn't, you know, keeping them lucid enough to birth the actual baby. So, okay, nevertheless, the method made it across the Atlantic to the US, largely due to the high demand from mothers themselves. Of course, when you think about it, I mean, on paper, they weren't hearing about the straps.
Yeah. So, oh, totally, yeah.
So here there were added dangers due to the way the drugs were administered. So in Germany, the patients had been assessed for dosage methodically before administration, whereas in America, that was not the case. So Germany, top-up doses were given according to the needs of the patient. In America, it was divided into doses and provided at set intervals. So this resulted in, as we know now, that a lot of this medication passed through the placenta into the baby.
Oh.
So we have many kind of various accounts of babies suffering as a result of this, like being born with depressed lungs and terrible things. And some of the doctors here is quoted as saying, after witnessing this, effectively a stillbirth that was then brought back to life, but I naturally concluded that the twilight sleep was to be used very conservatively, or better still, not at all.
Yeah.
So demand for the procedure, understandably, given the pain relief available at the time, far outstripped the doctors qualified and willing to give it. Okay, so at this point, the doctors were like, this shit is not working. Meanwhile, the mothers are like, we need something. We've heard this fucking works. And also the kind of regular Joe on the street isn't hearing about all this kind of back end disasters. Ooh. In the hospital. So anyway, it kind of luckily, demand for twilight diminished after in 1915 when Frances Carmody, so she helped popularize the method in the US, she died giving birth, and this had resulted from an unrelated hemorrhage but still led to the practice becoming less popular. Mm. It was still used right up until the 60s in some areas, so that might go towards your grandmother's thing.
I think granny was probably right,
like, yeah,
or you know.
However, until journalists exposed the conditions inside the wards and the burn marks left by the women struggling in their drugged state,
oh my god,
in the restraints.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
I mean, desperate, right? But luckily we've moved on. I could take you into space, but how is time? Or will I take you into scurvy?
Might be on time. Let's go.
We've still a bit of time. We're only on 38 minutes. Give us scurvy.
Well, here's scurvy.
Because I'm worried that your space thing might be the same as my space thing.
Okay,
tonight.
I shan't then. So here's Legama user saying, everyone knows about scurvy, but the reason it's so terrifying is usually less known. You see, scar tissue is not permanent. The process to build and maintain scar tissue is constantly ongoing. When you become vitamin C deficient, your scar tissue starts being reabsorbed into your body, opening up any and all old wounds.
Oh, what?
How fucked up is this?
Jesus, like your C-section wound can reopen.
So if you've ever had a surgery, those internal incisions will open back up.
Oh, shit.
Fortunately, it doesn't take a lot of vitamin C, and it's abundant in our food source to kind of not have scurvy. But it's still very creepy that you could just start falling apart without it.
From inside.
So
that's fascinating.
Yeah. So bad news, though.
Jeez, what about my episiotomy?
Well, just eat a fucking orange once a week.
Yeah, have a little glass.
Have a little mandarin.
Oh, my God. My vag would be like whistling through that glass.
Seriously,
as I try and walk around.
I know. But I'll tell you what's making a comeback. This scurvy. Pirate disease on the up and up in the USA. Yeah.
Why? It's vitamin C is in everything. Eat a carrot. Have an orange.
I think, I don't know why, but it is. But how fucking terrifying.
It's probably like
imagine
just the concentration of poor undernourished women in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, imagine that's what's going to happen when it hits LA though, and the tits are just popping off people.
Just literally
tits and lips
falling
and noses
out.
Walking God. Off the bodies. That's desperate.
She's the Real Housewives, going to be real fucking carnage.
I watched that.
It's going to be like the last scenes of Event Horizon.
Another thing. Do you ever think to yourself,
the Real Housewives of the zombie apocalypse?
What do you think would happen to you if you just decided to walk onto some lava?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd melt?
No.
Because that's
that's what I imagine.
Yeah. So upon hopping in for maybe this deadly bath, You'll get stuck at the surface as the lava begins to give you full thickness burns. This injury is the type that not only destroys the upper layer of skin, the epidermis, but quickly destroys your nerve endings and severs your blood vessels within your underlying dermis. Your subcutaneous fat will boil off you and you will just be fried like a delicious steak.
Pretty quickly, I'd say, though.
Very fucking quickly.
Of all the ways to go, I still think it's better than drowning.
No. Oh, God. God, no, I can't pick Jesus, actually.
Because I think better than drowning. It is better than drowning, because drowning, you have a couple of minutes.
Drowning, you'll get, a few minutes, and there's a chance of survival. But, like, you're going nowhere in lava.
No.
You're literally stuck. And look, it'll be moments. And you could smell your delicious flesh. Oh, final meal.
Oh, God, I'm not convinced by either.
Do you know? Okay, I'm going to end on this, right? Because this is something that we're all, this is definitely in our future.
Okay.
And this is
getting old.
Well, let's hope so.
Is it about the old person smell?
No.
Okay.
But I think that could just be degeneration, like rotting. So this
is a sweet smell
about bio warfare. And fucking easy it would be to
just
bring smallpox back, right?
Oh.
So this guy or a woman, T Cell Crypto, says smallpox really easy to bring back, and it'll kill a fifth of the planet when it happens. Take some genocidal anger, knowledge, tens of thousands, and all of but he rounds it up to about 100k. And here's how it could happen. Number one, US...
Like it would cost 100K.
That's all it costs. He's fucking costed this whole thing out in terms of cost of lab equipment, you know.
Yeah.
And he's also attached very horrendously.
You can get it all on Zalando.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Or Shein.
10% off with our discount at the Creep Dive. Number one, US or Russian stocks leaked or used as a bioweapon. So all countries seem to have stocks of, you know how a lot of countries have seed banks and things like that. Most countries, developed countries, have stocks of, you know, eradicated diseases like TB and smallpox, and that they keep them.
Should they have to create a virus?
Yes, exactly. In order to maybe kind of create a virus and make a vaccine, or create a virus if we're talking about bio warfare is kicked off again.
It could go either way.
Exactly. So he
would we not get a vote on that?
I doubt it.
I mean, that's why it's really best that women aren't in power, because it would be one bad bout of PMS and smallpox.
That's
get
the
smallpox out of the
vote.
How
dare you?
Thank God we're keeping women
Thank
down.
God for us
Press
not.
Send that me glass to the front line and I'll give everybody shingles.
Right, I think Cassie with her shingles is just going to take out a quarter of the world. So US or Russian stocks leaked or used as bioweapon. This poster says we keep some... intellectually, it's very secure. They're posting from the US. However, this is whatever. So number two, accidentally bumped into at a lab, leaking during cleaning or something like that. Forgotten stocks occasionally found. Leak spreading, very unlikely in his honest opinion or hers. Intentionally released via recreation. Somebody resynthesizes it from scratch via public sequencing. So according to this paper, with about 100K materials, methods and difficulty in it's totally possible, he said. Simple to do. He then attaches a link to a step-by-step guide.
Why would he do that?
To synthesizing smallpox.
There's bad people on the internet.
But the question, there's bad
there's
people.
There's smart people.
To, yeah, there is.
They're
right.
smart it's enough smart. To create 4chan and 8chan and QAnon. They're smart enough to
synthesize smallpox.
Yeah, but they
had overly smart.
Yeah, but it had a great impact.
Still really fancy that guy though. It's so weird. Why do I like him?
So lads, in 2019, part of a Russian lab where smallpox and Ebola were stored exploded.
Great.
So the last, so it's fucking happening out there. So I'm sorry to have misplaced the trust. Anyway, look here, Professor Henry Bedson, who headed the smallpox lab, died by suicide before Parker's. So before another death is horrified that he may. So sorry, I'll set this up. Henry Bedson died by suicide. He worked with another scientist called Parker, right? So both... Peter Parker, right? He was horrified that he may have released the disease. So anyway, the explosion happened. two scientists died by suicide after the fact.
Oh my God. Because they thought it was the disastrous fallout yes, they were anticipating.
Exactly. Shit. So horrified that he may have released the disease he'd been working so hard to eradicate into the world once more, he writes, "I am sorry to have misplaced the trust in which so many friends and colleagues have placed in me and my work," he wrote in a note. He believed that the virus had escaped from his lab, which government reports would later confirm. Other person, Parker's mother, was infected mildly, and she was soon free of the infection.
Oh my God.
A year after the incident, smallpox was declared eradicated entirely. A year after the incident. Finally free from the disease, the decision was made to destroy all remaining stocks of smallpox or move them to one or two secure labs. One in the US.
Near Georgia.
One in Russia. We'll just put it with the nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, that's great, Jack. Give them to the Americans and the Russians. No yeah. problems there. They well, should have find, stored them.
I know.
In Kilkee. Like
exactly. Yeah. Where nobody here. Wants to go. That's unfair to
no,
Kilkee.
People want to go there, lovely. But no, they don't go to Kilkee.
They just don't
for
associate
smallpox.
It with eradicated
They're going
diseases.
For ice creams and like a nice time.
Yeah, nice that's view. True.
They should
yeah.
put it down in Liston
Varna. Maybe in the pub. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I've horrified you two enough and I'll tell you no more for the time being. But please note, there's more horrendous stuff from, because if you think
it would
about
make
it,
you just want to not pay the TV license, like
yes,
like at any moment
we could just be
yeah the, like we're looking out the window enjoying the view of my window boxes.
They
one
do look gorgeous.
Is not doing great, the other is really blooming,
thriving,
lovely.
Cassie's looking at the real shagged one on the right.
Well,
there.
The red flowers are doing really nice and I think they're a, both yeah, doing really well over here
there. But anyway, God Jesus.
A funny theme emerges because I'm going to tell you about the time Obama went to space. Yes! Which is something that we don't remember or know from history.
No.
When? Yeah.
What?
Obama went to Mars apparently.
Okay. Shut up.
So this all comes from
4chan, isn't it?
This comes from a theory on the internet. What happened here is I came across this interesting story in one of these like Glitch in the Matrix forums that I inhabit frequently. And there was this story that someone shared saying, "I once clocked out of work at 6 p.m. like I always did at the time and began my hour-long train ride home. After I found a seat, I went to sleep and woke up just before my station. From the station, it's a short bus journey, 10-15 minutes to reach home."
Oh God, love her. During two the modes of transport.
That's a lot, isn't it? She's in a big city. "During the entire journey, I didn't use my phone and I don't wear a watch, so I didn't really notice the time anywhere. When I reached home, my family surprised me with, 'Oh, you're home early. Everything all right?' I looked at the wall clock and it was 6 p.m. I was too shocked to understand what had happened, checked other watches, cell phones, etc., and the time was absolutely 6 p.m. A few days later, the emailed us.
What time did she say she left us?
She clocked 6 p.m. off at 6 p.m.
And she was home.
And a few days later, the admin emailed us our timesheets for the month, times clocking in and out, and every single day for me was around the same, 6 p.m. So I didn't leave work earlier that day. To this date, I haven't figured out how I gained an extra 60 to 90 minutes that day." Fascinating, right? And then I was like, have we really
That fully happened to me.
Did it?
Yes. When? And there was no sleeping because the nap for her, there's something about that that makes me suspicious.
I feel like it disorientates the story.
Whereas I had a fully waking hour lost.
When?
Oh, I lived in this house, but it might have been before Rufus was born. But I was pregnant because we were pregnant when we moved in here. And I was getting a flight. I was getting the flight at about 8:30 or something on my own. I think I was going over to visit Nancy in England. And so I was up and I was down, like, and I'd gotten up at 6 or something like that. Pretty lucky, just straight over the toller, under the tunnel there. And I was kind of buzzing around, you know, that kind of final flight thing where you're kind of putting the kind of carry on bits together.
Yeah.
Blah-de blah. Made a coffee to bring with me. So I looked at the clock in the kitchen, clocked that it was 6 a.m. Death, like grand.
Yeah.
And then I'd say foostered just like a couple of bits, like put the book in the bag, blah-de blah. Went back, no joke, it was 7 on the clock then. Now, you have to just take my word for it.
Well,
that's
the
problem. But I was extremely disorientated. Yeah. I was like genuinely, like I was like, fuck, get out the door. So I did. But the whole time I was like, I couldn't work it out. I couldn't work out what had happened. I kept being like, was I wrong the first time I looked at the clock? But exactly. Like I was heading for a flight at 8:30. If I had looked at the clock and it had said 7,
Yeah,
you would have been close to seven. You would have
penetrated my fucking thing.
You would have gone,
my fugue
let's
state
go.
Immediately. I would have been like, fuck, let's go. Yeah, exactly.
And did you make the flight?
And also, fuck, how that happened. Yeah, I know. Key. Made it.
But you know, but what? Did you again, comfortably make it, or were you rushing? You were rushing to make it.
Oh no, I was rushing to make it.
So yeah, you really.
Oh yeah,
lost
I actually
it.
Like hoofed it so out and got a taxi instead it. Of. It was as long ago that the air coach used to run across the sea road there, and so you know we could date it by that because it doesn't anymore. But I remember being like, "It's now too late for me to get the air coach."
But the only reason you remember that moment is because of this. Flight
time
because of the flight.
Because of the flight, exactly.
So there's a suggestion there that this could be happening
all the time.
All the time,
yes.
And then, in the matrixy,
yes. Exactly. And you will. And often, I think the impulse is, oh, you just read it wrong. You just date yourself. You're like, oh, I just fucked that up somehow.
But like when you think about it, isn't going to sleep and losing 6 or 7 hours of the day
bizarre.
The strangest
a little
thing?
Bit weird.
When you break it down,
my neighbor's obsessed with this. He said, if I could never sleep again. That would be fine.
Is the day really 24 hours long? What it is, because you could, sometimes you stay up all night.
Yeah,
you can, but it goes much quicker at nighttime than it does during the daytime.
Not if you have a young newborn baby. Let me tell you,
you cannot prove the existence of time.
Imagine a young newborn. It's
provable. It's never been proved, and it's
well, there's no
not provable.
But it's not because it's because time is like an agreement that we all make.
Exactly.
Like I mean. Time passes when it where it isn't called time.
Yes,
but like in seasons and
the rotation of the earth
and things growing and things like that. But like
it itself,
whatever that is called, is not time. Time is just something that we all agreed on to give form to life.
To understand,
and it's so funny because it's the thing that gives, I think, the majority of people their everyday anxiety is. Obsession over time spent, what you're doing with your time when you're being late.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. And how we just quantify like life in terms of growing and aging. And anyway, go on, give
Very
us a
Very interesting.
Shot.
So then I got onto a whole like, well, have we really discounted time travel?
No, we haven't.
So I was like,
not on this podcast.
What are some people who have traveled through time?
No. Oh my God. Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap.
Obama.
Okay, come
amazing.
On. Right,
slightly
okay.
more famous than Sam Beckett.
So this is part of a thing called Project Pegasus and the Chrononauts. I think this is something that you would have been all over. So
Chrononauts
2011
is a really good name for time travelers.
Yeah. Chrononauts.
Or a serial.
Look at this fucking guy stealing my car parking space.
So in 2000... Get out there and punch him in the face through his window. Get your
go
bike.
Go and press your little index
get into the passenger
right
seat.
Into his
He's just confused. Like, why are these women looking
like going
at me
out
through
there
a
being
window?
Like, this is not how things work on the lane. Like, and I can see that he's an interloper. He doesn't belong here.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, go on.
So back into the Noto. What do you call it?
Oh my God. He's literally wearing
Chrononauts.
A jersey knotted over his
Stop
shoulders. Like
him.
He's
going to look
in
around.
Massachusetts.
I know. And he has
maybe
like
he is. Maybe that's a little rental
partner. They're like filming a movie from the early noughties, a romance rom-com.
I'm making eye contact.
Stop that.
Don't make eye contact.
Come on, Chrononauts.
So in 2011, Andrew D. Basiago and William Stilling stepped forward claiming that they were former Chrononauts who had worked with an alleged DARPA program called
DARP.
Project Pegasus. Huh. Project Pegasus, they said, had been developed in the 1970s and in 1980, they were taking a Mars training class at a community college in California. But the college was a front for this alleged program.
I see.
Yeah. So it wasn't really
ain't
community
no
college.
Community college going to prepare you for space.
They were like, this is a community college, but really this is a Mars training program. And they were picked to go to Mars and their mode of transportation, teleportation.
Now, right. Mm. Okay.
And... also in their class was then 19-year-old Barack Obama.
Shut up, amazing.
Who they claimed was going by the name Barry Soetoro.
Okay.
So he was also one of the students who was chosen to go to Mars. They said the teleportation occurred via something called a jump room. So which led to the White House having to make a statement about this secret CIA project to explore Mars.
Wait, the White House back then in 1980 or
the White
House now after
Obama.
This
yeah.
came out?
So they came out
after the Chrononauts.
The Chrononauts said this in 2011.
I'm hearing Chrononauts
And I'm seeing Cronut.
Cronut. Oh, delicious.
Can't wait to eat dinner. Yeah. Wait, maybe see they what developed I've made you guys.
The 2011 was probably the heyday of the Cronut. They probably made it to distract us from the truth.
Okay, so you're saying the White House had to release a statement, but yeah. Why? So these guys are some people of...
Well,
of
this, I think, became quite a known theory on the internet. So basically, the White House came out and said, oh, so at
to
the time,
clarify,
Basiago Obama. And Stillings said that Obama was lying about his identity as well, because his real name was Barry Sowetero, okay. And not Barack Obama, and that he's lying about his military service record. His so you know the way in 2008 his political opponents attacked him for never serving. These two guys were like, oh, he did serve in the military. Yeah. He was in this secret CIA intergalactic
program. The fact
program
that there's two of them
in the '80s
lends it some weight.
I think they're two pals who maybe smoked a lot of dope in the '80s
and went on a trip.
But then
together.
Again, maybe I'm believing what they want me to believe. So officially, the White House says that Obama has never been to Mars, only if you count watching Marvin the Martian.
Ha ha.
Said by Tony Vietor, the spokesperson of the National Security Council
fun of
at the time.
Astronauts.
Yeah, but then again, as this person points out, that's exactly what
they
want you to believe.
So did they talk about being in Mars after the jump room, or was it all just training?
No, so they went to Mars, right? So between 1981 and 1983, Obama supposedly had visited Mars twice by way of teleportation through the jump room. Basiago, he told a website at the time that he saw Obama walk back to the jump room from across the Martian terrain. Obama is said to have said to Basiago at the time, "We're here." So acknowledging that they were together on Mars, that's part of his proof that they were there together.
We're here. Like, it's that's not a necessary statement when you're standing on Mars.
No, like, no, not good enough.
We've made it.
Really noticed that you're on Mars. You don't need anyone.
We're here.
Confirming.
No. And it needs to be more grandiose than
like,
that.
Even if it was something like, can you believe we're here? Like, it's conversational better. And way more likely.
The problem with this is, if teleportation did exist and there was a jump room, the suggestion that that would not have been used like before on Earth, jumping around places versus straight to Mars.
Like it's not plausible. Well, no, that humans didn't immediately employ it to fucking kill each other.
Yeah, or pornography.
But yeah, exactly.
They're doing it a long game, because what their mission on Mars is to basically be seen and not to be eaten, to understand what's on Mars and to get them comfortable with the potential of there being human inhabitants on Mars in someday.
Migration.
Yeah. So they're maybe they're holding that one close to them for the bio warfare.
Still though, provision for migration is so far down the agenda of every government in this world. Still believe
as it should be. It kind of shouldn't it? I mean,
no, it's a very big problem, and well, like a problem that needs better solutions than what's on offer right now.
Well, we're going to send like our top white billionaires to live on Mars, and that will save the world.
No, but what I'm saying anyway is that like they're not prioritizing migration in any way
now.
You're
right.
So
exactly.
Here's the
why
thing.
Suddenly
would they actually, instead of like teleporting into fucking whatever Afghanistan
thing.
Back when they were doing that. Well,
yeah,
I think that's ongoing, but
with time travel and teleportation, right? You're assuming that time travel is part of it, because obviously you waste no time teleporting. They're never going to make time travel commercially available ever, because if they do, some random punter will understand how time travel works in 2050 or 2070.
And come back and tell
us. Will come back in time and invent time travel and be the millionaire who invented time travel.
Ergo, it's never been invented in the future.
Because it's not there. Because they would have come back. Unless there's some really stringent laws and copyright infringements about coming back and telling people
and
about time travel.
Around with
but it did happen once. A man called John Titor came from 2034. Where else would you go other than fucking Reddit and told people about the future? So there's loads of people who believe in this guy coming forward.
Did you come across as well? Do you remember we did this, the photographs
of
time travelers? Some of them are quite compelling.
Yeah.
There's a great guy holding, I think it's a flip phone, And it's a photograph from
the '80s, isn't it?
No, yeah, it could be even longer ago.
So there's there's the hipster time traveler. That's a photo from it's a photo that was discovered in the early 2010s, depicting the 1941 reopening of the South Fork Bridge and Golden Bridge, British Columbia, in Canada, and it went viral because in the midst of a photo, there is a man that looks like a modern day
hipster,
cool wearing glasses. This kind of cool glasses, branded T-shirt.
Dungarees or no?
He's wearing this like cardigan thing. And people have pointed out that like he could have purchased those items at the time. But when you see the context of the photo, everyone around him is wearing a hat.
He's got like wraparound sunglasses.
Yeah. Like,
oh, it's amazingly out of place.
And he's got in his hand what seems to be
a camera.
A camera. Yeah. Now that does does look like an old film camera.
Yeah, like what do they call those cameras? The medium format cameras. They were like big boxies, I think they were called. You could wear them around your neck. But yeah. Way before the SLR.
I think it looks like an SLR to me, but yeah, maybe. I think it's the glasses that are most compelling.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wait, actually, now that I look at it, they're not wraparounds. They're squared off at the edge there. They look a bit more like the goggles that they used to wear.
Aviation goggles. Or
they do look similar to aviation goggles. But
the T-shirt is very intriguing.
The T-shirt, the cardigan, the...
Yeah, hang on, guys. Are we talking about... Are you saying that logo T-shirt would have been available?
That's what people have said, is that he could have been able to get it at the time. But it seems unlikely. There's some great stories of potential time travel, or these things called time... where is it now? A time slip.
Oh, that's right.
So... Every time we're on it, I'll tell you this quickly, right?
Oh yeah, give it to us.
So this is the Moberly Jordan incident, and in 1901, two Englishwomen, Anne Moberly and Eleanor Jordan, took a vacation to France. They went and visited the Palace of Versailles because that's what you do when you're in France. Mm. And when they were at Versailles, they visited what's known as the Petit Trianon. Well done, me. A little chateau on the palace grounds that Louis the 16th gave to Marie Antoinette
Roman numerals. She's doing great.
I know. Well, really quickly. As a private space for her to hang out and do whatever it was that
women
she
did.
Wanted.
I remember what she did from
what
the
did
movie.
She do? Just masturbate in a garden?
She, yeah.
Painting
she
and masturbation.
She cohorted with youths.
So, but while these two women were there at Versailles, while Anne and Eleanor were just chilling around, they claimed they saw some odd occurrences. They spotted people wearing the old clothing, they heard mysterious voices, and saw buildings and other structures that were no longer present. They hadn't existed since the late 1700s. And finally, they caught sight of Marie Antoinette herself drawing in a sketchbook. They claimed to have fallen into a time slip and had been briefly transported back more than 100 years before being jolted back to the present by a tour guide.
They've strayed onto the movie set.
Yeah, that's exactly what this article says. It was most likely folie à deux.
Yeah, old favourite.
You know, like last one on the time slip thing. You know, I think I've told you this before about Seb's aunt driving into Galway.
Oh, yeah, fire. Yeah, yeah, the
yeah,
fire.
And seeing the golf club in Oughterard on fire and literally encountering traffic wardens who were helping people navigate the fire and the chaos. And then she was into Galway to pick somebody up for the train, her husband at the time, and drove back out with him. And she was like, oh, we'll probably be held up in Oughterard. There's been like a chaotic fire on the golf course. Got there, nothing. And she was like, inhaling the smoke through the window of the car, everything
was stopped in traffic.
Yeah, and spoke to somebody.
Like, that's madness, isn't it?
Time slip.
It's a time slip or a glitch in the matrix.
Now, some of the family have pointed out that she would be an enthusiastic
drinker,
grower of things.
I see,
but at the same time,
I don't accept that.
I think Seb has sampled, and it's a very mellow kind of situation. So yeah, I think it'd be. Yeah, it's not really, it's not like AK-47.
To me, it feels more like if it was anything, it was sort of a dream, you know? Like she might have actually just fallen asleep somehow or gone into some sort of light sleep mode, which made her able to drive.
Folie à
deux. Yeah. Anyway, amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel sort of creeped out by this episode. You know the way I feel.
We've learned a lot.
This one got under my skin.
Yeah, you're itching a bit. I feel that too.
Like,
ooh, things are crazy. Anyway, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
You
for
can
coming.
Catch us on the, you know where we are on the Patreon. Please take a dip and have a look. Sure, sign on. And then look around. And if you like it, stay.
Also, keep an eye out on the socials and the Patreon.
For the live show.
I suppose per usual, I should have run this past you before I'm about to announce
Has
it.
Has to go to the patrons
first. We usually open ticket sales for 1 hour to patrons ahead of the general admission.
Gen pop,
exactly.
And it won't be too many tickets if we're looking at this venue.
And because we haven't given them much notice, we'll probably open it for an hour or 2 hours. A good little bit to patrons before we open up to Gen Pop this time around. And also,
oh yeah, go on.
Part of this show is going to an LGBT charity.
Yay!
For Pride. It is the last day of Pride Month, isn't it, that day?
Yeah, I mean, we could have just got in if that comes to pass, that date. Anyway,
and
you'll hear all about it. We'll be
the
shouting.
Gays for 30 days.
Yes.
We support the gays.
Let them sleep.
Let them sleep and hibernate for the rest of the year. They need time to recover. And in June, again, we will bring out the rainbows and the charitable support.
Well, see you next week, guys. Or see you across on the Hive on Thursday. Bye.
Yay. Bye.